Well, let's cross to London now, where a crucial vote on Britain's Brexit deal is underway. After a day of debate, MPs are now voting on Theresa May's revised plan for Britain's withdrawal from the European Union due on the 29th of March. Battling a sore throat, the Prime Minister told the House of Commons that the British people wanted this debate over Brexit settled.
This is the moment and this is the time. Time for us to come together. Back this motion and get the deal done. Because only then can we get on with what we came here to do, what we were sent here to do.
British Prime Minister Theresa May, in a last-ditch attempt to placate Tory hardliners, the Prime Minister yesterday secured what she said was legally binding Brexit assurances from the European Union. But at the 11th hour, the Attorney General, Geoffrey Cox, said the legal risks to Brexit remain unchanged. So what's going on? Jill Rutter is an expert on Brexit. She's the Program Director at the Institute for Government and a former civil service with the British government. She joins us from London. Jill Rutter, welcome to Breakfast.
Hiya.
Well, they've been debating for hours in the Commons. I think the vote has started. Where's it at? Jill, are enough MPs switching sides to get this
passed? We think we'll get the results in the next couple of minutes. So they're all trooping through the lobbies. I think the expectation is that the Prime Minister will lose again, probably lose by less than she did last time. But remember, that was a thumping defeat. We have loads more MPs than you do, but she lost by 230 votes. So she's got to persuade a lot of people to go through the other lobby this time if she's going to win.
And it doesn't matter if she loses by 10 votes. A loss is a loss. What's at stake if she loses this? Can you remind us what they're voting on right now?
So at the moment they're voting on the deal with the EU. She's been trying to secure changes to that deal. She came back last night and made an emergency dash to Strasbourg to see the President of the European Commission. Came back with some additional bits of text about the status of this backstop and more assurances on that, which she presented, but she was a bit torpedoed this morning by her Attorney General, saying that they had reduced the risk but had not removed the legal risk that the UK could be trapped in the backstop permanently. So today, if she goes down, she's promised tomorrow that the Commons will have a vote on whether it really wants to leave the EU in, I think, just over 2 weeks' time on the 29th of March with no deal. So what most people think would be a pretty disorderly Brexit.
Yeah.
And if the Commons says no to that, which people expect it would, because that's been where the Commons has been before, on Thursday she's said that the Commons would get a vote on whether she has to be sent back to Brussels to ask the EU for an extension.
Okay. So just to stick with what she came back with, I mean, she acted as though she was confident that she'd secured real changes and really delivered on what the Parliament sent her off to get last time, which was this, what she said, was a legal assurances that Britain would be able to leave the backstop deal when it wanted to. This is all about the Irish border and a hard border or, you know, some kind of arrangement to make that work. And then her Attorney General looked at what she got signed and said, well, no, the legal advice stays the same. This is, you know, Britain still wouldn't have autonomy here. Is that basically it?
Yeah, more or less. I mean, he sort of said that it was a bit of progress, but it wasn't progress to remove the risk that the UK could not escape this backstop. Basically, what they were looking at was if the EU is not acting in good faith, then there's a process whereby the UK could take the EU to arbitration. But if the EU was acting in good faith, but said actually these alternative arrangements, these other ways forward, other than saying the backstop aren't good enough, then the UK could not escape the backstop. Remember, what her backbenchers wanted is they wanted either a time limit to that backstop so it would just fall away after a period of time, or they wanted a unilateral exit mechanism. Those are things that the EU's absolutely set their face against by saying it's not a backstop if the UK can just sort of, you know, toss it away
right
at the UK's convenience.
A lot of us over here still have trouble understanding what the backstop is. What would it mean if it could just disappear? What then ultimately would that look like?
It would mean with EU rules that there would have to be some sort of new checks at the land border. This is all to do with the fact that because we're in the EU, because both the UK and the Republic of Ireland are in the EU's customs union and the single market, we don't have to have checks at that land border in the island of Ireland. And that land border has been a real sort of flashpoint during all the time when there have been troubles, you know, over the status of Northern Ireland and things like that. And that's why people see reintroducing any sort of physical infrastructure at the border, reintroducing more checks, sort of disrupts a lot of the progress that's been made since the Good Friday Agreement agreed way back in 1998.
Right. So Jill, if the Prime Minister loses tonight, we'll know that any moment now, and you think it's likely, then tomorrow they vote on no deal Brexit, which the Parliament's voted no before on. What is the fear about a no deal Brexit? It's just that it's a sort of a brutal, disorderly change. Is there thoughts that it'll cause permanent damage to the economy, or what's the concern?
It would certainly be quite a significant economic shock. I mean, we've had lots of reports from things like our National Audit Office, the people who assess government departments, saying that we're not ready. A couple of weeks ago, the government produced a report and said businesses, citizens aren't ready for the changes. At the moment, the EU's been taking quite a hard line. The UK is basically saying we're going to prioritise continuity. If it was okay the day before Brexit, it'll be okay to come into the UK the day after Brexit. The EU's not been saying that at all.
Right.
So there are some areas, like planes will keep flying. People were worried about that. But there could be a lot of disruption, particularly to the cross-channel trade in goods. Lots of stuff comes through the Port of Dover. There's no capacity to do checks there. And if they start checking stuff at Calais, just over 20 miles across the channel, they start doing checks there, then, you know, Kent could become a lorry park. That's the sort of thing people are worried about.
Okay.
People are worried about critical shortages, medicines and things like that. So lots of potential for disruption. Don't know how bad it could be.
Okay, we're almost out of time, and I know you've got to keep watching this vote. We will too. If this vote goes down, tomorrow's vote goes down, it's back to the EU to ask for an extension on the Brexit deadline. Is that where we're at?
Yeah, she has to ask. So the UK can decide what it wants, but of course it's up to the EU. And the question the EU said it will ask is, if we extend, what's the extension going to be for? What's going to change in the UK that means that that extension will be used for something rather than just more of the same?
So the stakes are high. Ultimately, if we go through all of that process, are we heading for an early election, do you think?
People are speculating about early election, though both parties are split on Brexit, so it's not quite clear how they would fight in an election or whether it would really give more clarity on that. Other people are waiting for their moment when they can sort of push towards a second referendum, the so-called people's vote, so they put the issue back to the people, say, Parliament's failed to resolve this, we have to ask the people.
Boy, what a mess. Jill Rutter, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Jill Rutter, Program Director at the Institute for Government, former civil servant with the British Government.